I appreciate the blessings of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 12. Let me get my cheaters. Acts chapter 2 and verse 12. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive something from God? How many are really ready to receive something from God? How many of you want something from God? How many are willing to go out of your way to get something from God? Glory to God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 12 from a scripture reading this evening. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and the 17th and 18th verse. Paul said, not having to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That you be not drunk on wine wherein excess, but be ye rather filled with the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. I am fairly convinced there is no doubt in my mind this evening, the greatest need of this church, the greatest need of all of these Pentecostal churches across America today and across the foreign field, is a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. Another upper room experience in God Almighty. I don't believe that we need a larger building. I don't believe that we need more etiquette in the pulpit. I believe what we need is more of the baptism of the power of God Almighty, not only behind the pulpit, but in the pews, that they may do even as the early church did, spread the word that Jesus died and arose again for their sins. Amen. So I'm convinced that the greatest need of this hour is that we have a fresh baptism of God's Spirit in our life. And I'm persuaded that the reason some of you folks don't let go and let God minister to you and let God bless you is because you are afraid of what old Joe Blow sitting beside you is going to think about you. How you're wondering about what is somebody that's visiting in the church going to think about me if they see me get radical in the Holy Ghost. I say cast all of your doubts, your tears, and your frets and your worries aside and just let your umbrella down tonight. Forget Joe Blow and let God's divine blessing pump upon your heart and upon your life. Amen. Now, I chose drunkenness tonight for my scripture thought or for my lesson thought, and I did because apparently when those came out of the upper room, apparently they were acting like a drunk individual. Have you ever seen an old drunk? He can't walk straight. He talks with a slur, and there are just some characteristics about him that are absolutely different than a normal man. And I want you to know tonight that there are some characteristics about a Holy Ghost-filled person, about a Holy Ghost-filled church, that is absolutely different from the characteristics of the world. And there is a parallel that is drawn between a drunken man and between a Holy Ghost-filled man. Apparently, they were acting like drunk people when they came out of the upper room after being baptized in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that? Amen. Have they had to be acting different? Have they had to be acting like drunk men or they would have never thought they was drunk. Peter was quick to correct him. He said, these folks are not drunk as you suppose. It's just the third hour of the day. But this is that. This is the Holy Ghost that God said was going to come. It's already happened. It's already taken place. And these are the results of the infilling of that Spirit. Now, in Phoenix, Arizona, we pastored there for over 2 years, and I got some statistics from the Phoenix Police Department, and I drew a parallel between them and a Holy Ghost-filled individual. And so the Holy Ghost knows that I'm giving him all due respect tonight, but I want to draw that parallel to your attention tonight. And I want you to ask yourself, how full am I of the Holy Ghost? First of all, of the Phoenix Police Department, now we're not talking about an alcoholic. We're talking about an individual that's just a weekend drinker. Maybe he just gets drunk once a month. But we're talking about just a man that goes out and drinks periodically. First of all, of the Phoenix Police Department says, how that a man that drinks from 1 to 3 bottles of beer, he automatically gets brave. And I thought, my Lord, don't that disciple a Holy Ghost-filled individual? How when they get a little Holy Ghost down in them, how they say, preacher, man, I can't talk. Brother, I want you to know the Holy Ghost will open your mouth for you. The Holy Ghost will put iron in your backbone. He'll pour some hot melting steel in it. And he'll give you some backbone to stand up and to tell the world and to tell the devil that, hey, I'm backed up as far as I'm going to back. I'm not going to back any further. Amen. Now, I want you to note with me how the devil has pushed the church of the living God around. And he's pushing it around today. And we just continue to back up. Back up to him, but it's time that we pulled up to the fountain of God and got us 3 bottles of the Holy Ghost, if you please. I know you say, Brother Rodman, you can't measure it out like that, but I dare say that I can. There are some that get more than others, and the reason they get more is because they're more open, because they stay longer, and because they're more desirous to receive from God than those that just get a touch of him in their life. Amen. Remember, the devil pushes around, but Jesus said, now behold, I give unto you power to descend upon serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and there shall nothing by no means hurt you. It's time. If you're having trouble living for God and the devil's pushing you around and your Holy Ghost still, it's time that you stop. I planted your feet on the rock of the Word and said, devil, I'm back as far as I'm going to back. I'm going to stand now, praise in God, and I'm going to do battle in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I get like the little mouse. This old tomcat run that mouse around and around and around, and finally the mouse run down in the cellar, and there was some homebrew in the cellar, and the little old mouse knocked over a jar of homebrew, and he took 2 or 3 laps of it because he was thirsty. He walked up those steps after he got that down his stomach, and he stood on his hind legs. He said, now where's that tomcat? I want you to know it's time that we Holy Ghost feel saints of God. I've got enough of the Holy Ghost in us that we stood our ground and said, this is what we believe. This is the moving of God, and we refuse to be deterred from it. We refuse to be backed out of them. When you get enough of the Holy Ghost, you'll feel brave enough to go bear hunting with a switch. Amen. I said, it's time the church of the living God pulled up to the fountain of God and got a good long drink of the Holy Ghost of God. That's what we need more than anything else, is a fresh filling of God's Spirit. Have they said not only, have you ever noticed an old drunk though? When he gets a few bottles in him, man, he'll fight anybody. But if you notice, the Phoenix Police Department says, have them when they get from 3 to 6 bottles of beer in them, have they get joy. Oh, my Lord, this is what we need in the church today. Amen. Have the psalmist David in Psalms chapter 40. And verse 1 through 3, He said, I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the harbor pit. He planted my feet upon a solid rock. He established my going. He put a song in my mouth, even praises unto God. Many shall see and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. Come on, thanks to God. It's time the world saw us at a jubilant church, as a church with victory, as a church with glory, as a church with power, as God moving in it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we walk around like we've been whipped with an ugly stick. For the world don't need none of that. We walk around, man, with our lower lip dragging our tracks out. And brother, the world don't need none of that. What's the word you say? Well, Brother Ogden, don't tell me that you can always walk victorious. I'm telling you that when you get the Holy Ghost in you, and the Holy Ghost embodying within you, and the Holy Ghost directing your life, I'm telling you, that the things that trouble you will trouble you no more. That when sorrow comes, you'll shout hallelujah. That when trouble comes, you'll say, I'm greater than that. Brother, when you get the Holy Ghost inside of you, you say, I've got it, and I still have times of sorrow. You haven't got enough yet. You need to come again at the Calvary and to get healed and refilled and refilled and refilled and refilled and refilled until you get what you need from God. Woo! Amen. Most of us like the little boy. His grandpa, little boy, came in one night after being taken to church. Little boy was ever so jubilant. His grandpa said, what's wrong, son? Oh, he said, Papa, Papa, Papa. I said, I got food tonight. And I'm happy. And my grandpa said, well, son, if you got saved, it's a serious business. I don't know where we ever got this, if you're supposed to come to church and you're supposed to set there like a buff on the log. I don't know where in the world we got that. How many of you teenagers go to a football game and touch down? And you say, oh, you do? I never in my life got involved in a football game. I've only been to one college football game in all of my life. And that was one of my deacons that took me to the Arkansas Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville while I was pastoring in Arkansas. And this deacon got the tickets and said, I want to take the pastor. I'd never been, so I thought it would be an experience. And so I went with him. And we were sitting about three sections down on the left-hand side. And the right-hand side, all of it, I guess, was Arkansas fans. Anyway, after a while, they come out with a big old red Razorback hog in a cage. And they brought him to the first section. And that section had jumped up and I that's crazy. And they come to the second section, and they are everybody jumped to the feet. Out of wood, nobody ever saw the pigskin yet. How about there's a hollering at? And they come to the third section, and I just stepped there. I just stepped there, and my deacon jumped up, and I was pig. And they done that all the way around the stadium, and then they had one big call of the entire stadium doing it. And I thought, my Lord, how excited. But before the football game was over with, I was standing up calling, yay. And I don't even like Arkansas. Hollering, yay. Yay. And so I got back to my church on Sunday morning. I said, all right, we're not going anywhere in this service this morning until we do a hog call. Amen. Do it, many of you. How about get around? I like that. When your team makes a touchdown, you automatically jump up. But somehow, we got the thinking that when we come to church, you're supposed to just sit there, and you're not supposed to praise God. You're not supposed to worship God. You're not supposed to be happy. This is a dose of test for all you have in the test. How about, brother, when the Holy Ghost comes in the fullness of six bottles, if you please, brother, he'll put a joy unspeakable and full of glory in your heart and in your life. My Lord, give us a baptism of joy in the church of the living God today. Give us a baptism of joy. And we ain't whooped. We are conquerors.
And we're not only conquerors, we don't get for what we got. We are more than conquerors. And brother, I want you to know, I got a right to shout hallelujah. And when you get the Holy Ghost, he'll give you something to be jubilant about.
See, I've got the Holy Ghost, and I'm not jubilant. You ain't got him there. Yeah, that's what most of our problems is now. We don't have enough. Most of us sanctimonious saints of God sit back on our pews and never make a move in the altar called giving. And the only time we raise a hand to worship God is when the preacher tells us to raise a hand to worship God. Amen.
Third of all, Phoenix Police Department said, a drunk gets from 6 to 6, he gets lovable. Have you ever seen an old drunk? An old drunk will stagger up and he'll love those that he don't even like. He'll love those that he doesn't even care about. Can you say amen? Have you ever seen an old drunk? You know, I was in preaching a revival meeting, 3-week meeting before I finally had touched the church. And there was a young lady in that church. And the first night to the revival meeting, I used to really say, quite often, but I've got over it a little bit. The older I get, I've got over it. But how about this young girl came to the revival meeting? Young girl, she's a young lady, married, with a family. And this young lady came up to the pastor after I'd preached that first service. And she said, I just hate that evangelist. And Brother Louder said, why? I said, because he's so loud. And when he goes, he almost scares me to death. And Brother Louder said, why don't you come back and hear him a couple or three more times before you pass any judgment. And the next night you came back. The third night you received the baptism in the Holy Ghost and God in heaven, my witness. And when she got up from the altar, who do you think she's looking for? She's looking for me. And because you wanted to love me. I want you to know the Holy Ghost. When you get enough of it, it makes you forget you've got any enemies. It makes you love them. And at odds with you, come on, folks, of the living God. It most definitely makes you love those that are sitting in the congregation with you. Woo! Makes you love them. And are sitting sure enough across the aisle from you.
I can't understand these folks just be Holy Ghost filled. And they want him to shake hands with a brother and sister. You ain't fooling me, and you sure ain't fooling God. He said, well, I love him, but I can't stand him. Well, then you need to come back again.
Come on, I'm telling you, if anybody in this congregation has any ill feelings, if you've got any ill feelings toward me this evening, brother, you're going to have to pray through. I mean, you're going to have to pray through. If you've got any ill feelings, honey, you need another gift for the Holy Ghost, not for behavior. You need another gift. Come on, sister, if there's anybody that you don't care about, if there's any of those dudes at school that talk to you, and you don't care about you, the Holy Ghost says it'll make you laugh. I said 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 it'll make you laugh. It'll make you laugh. Even those that laugh, you'll get to see me.
Oh, we need some drunks running around here loving one another's neck. In fact, stand your feet right now, would you?
I want you to hug two or three people and sit back down. I'm not through yet. Amen. Tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. Oh, little God. Amen, 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 amen.
See, some folks don't even do that.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
He'll make you love. I said it'll make you laugh. Now be seated. I want to finish this thing. Amen. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you laugh and all. If we ever need it today, love in our churches, if we ever need it, of the infilling of the Holy Ghost to the point of love, it's now. It's now. This is not the time to fight. This is not the time to argue. This is not the time to fight. This is the time to love your brother. This is the time to love of those outside the church. This is the time to love us into the church of the living God.
You'll never win the world fighting. And you'll never win them condemning them. The only way you'll win them is loving them. The only way you'll ever win them is loving them. The more you can't do it within yourself. You can't do it. You need the Holy Ghost to help you love. Hard to love that when it's done you wrong. Hard to love them when not when it's said something bad about you. But the Holy Ghost will help you overlook it and love them in spite of it, and it'll cause you to pay for them. Let God be merciful to their souls. Come on! A church, I said, God, what we need is a false baptism of your love in our heart and our lives. We need 9 models. Then it goes on to say in the Phoenix Police Department, when a drunk drinks from 12 or from 9 to 12 bottles, he gets free with his money. God, we need some folks to get 12 bottles. Have you ever noticed a drunk? Have you ever noticed a drunk? No drunk will walk in, man. Set him up! He'll spend everything he's got because he's free with his money. My wife grew up in a drunkard's home, an alcoholic's home. Her dad, an alcoholic, 35 years. All the time she ever got any money, he didn't come in drunk. Am I right? He come in, he's free of them girls, he's free. Girls need anything? You show me a Holy Ghost-filled person and a need presented to the church, and I promise you how that those Holy Ghost-filled people who will rim their pocket if need be have to minister to me. Come on, to meet the need! Oh, he got quiet, didn't it? Oh, my pastor said this about me. I got saved 22 years ago this month. I gave my heart and my life to God, and I mean I've done exactly that. I gave my heart and my life to God 22 years ago. And so the pastor, I watched it because in those days I was making from $300 to $500 a week in those days. I was number one salesman out of Monkey Ward House out of Kansas City. And so I worked with old Monkey, and I was making good money. And so the first week after I got saved, I dropped a check in the tithing coat for $42.50. My pastor, I guess, always seen the check. And he said, he told me this years later. He said, when I saw $42.50 from Tom Ogden, I knew how that he got salvation, not religion. Amen! I said, brother, the Holy Ghost will make you free. He'll make you free towards the work of the kingdom of God. He'll make you want to give. Amen. But it all rock here, man. He'll just automatically, the old rock will just give you everything that he's got. He'll just peel it off. I can't get it off, Matthew. Come on, tighten up. Amen. How about a drunk will just reach down and give all that he's got? And I say today, it's not a time to just sit on your pocketbook. Now's the time to yield yourself to God. And so God, you direct me where and the what and in the how much you want me to do for the glory of the kingdom of God Almighty. I've never seen a Holy Ghost-filled person tithe. Never. Never. Never seen a tithe Holy Ghost-filled person. Amen. If you don't pay your tithe, you claim to have a Holy Ghost, so you lie to me. You don't have a Holy Ghost. Well, who are you to judge? Amen. By the fruit you shall know them. Hello? All the way around, hello. You know, you're making me mad and I won't be back anymore. If you get mad, that proves you don't have what you said you got. If you don't come back, that proves you don't have what you said you got. Holy! The Holy Ghost, they said, are from Dan to Corbyn, make them free with the tarnation. And they went on to say that when they get from 12 to 16, they just pass on. No God, where is your strength in you, less than anything else? Folks, now listen to me for the next and man. We need perfect sin. We need to experience that you please of drunkenness, that we get so drunk from God's Spirit. Our heart gets so full that we feel like we're going to burst. I spoke in tongues a week before I was satisfied with my experience in the Holy Ghost. And when I finally got satisfied, God in heaven's my witness, I looked at and I said, turn it off, God. I've got all I can take. I'm going to bust it to him anymore. Hey, that was all the way I couldn't shut off. He said, I'm going to burst it. Is that anymore? What we knew was in his name. He said, it doesn't happen anymore. Oh, I beg your pardon. We were preaching the Polk County Camp meeting down in South Texas some time back. And there was one night in that particular show, in that particular camp meeting, how that they was coming across the front, and we was praying for them as they come across, and there wasn't any of them that ever stood to the feet. They ever one failed in like Rickwood. I just kept moving from one spot to the other. We'd stack them up over here. How we'd come stack them up over here. We'd stack them up over here. And then we'd go back over here and we'd start stacking all over again. All the way across. God was filling folks over the baptism in the Holy Ghost. There was one young man, about 30 years old, how that came across there, and he fell flat on his face. He had glasses on. And he fell flat on his face out in the sawdust right in front of the podium. And I thought, oh my Lord, he broke his nose. Not only broke his nose, he busted his glasses and cut his eyeballs out. Covered all that fall, I thought, man, he's hurt bad. How about he just laid there? And I thought, man, he's knocked himself out. I'm still trying to pray for people, and all the time I'm thinking, man, he's killed his food, kept falling. How about he went on, and the young man, he didn't make a move. He didn't move a muscle. And there was one dear little old sister in the camp meeting. She'd come up there, and she'd just pass it around. And the poor boy'd get covered up with sawdust every once in a while. And she'd just take a handkerchief, and she'd wave it away from the side of his face so he could breathe. And she'd go back to dancing again. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I thought they were still running the pine tickets. How they were still throwing them in the back of those wagons. How they were carrying them away from the camp meeting. I drunk on the power. I drunk on the Spirit of God. How they picked that young man up. I pulled him out the car. I brought him in the back of it. Hauled him home. I say, what we need to go. And more than the next breath is a prayer struck in this on the Spirit of the living God. We had a young man in the very first church he passed. He come up, got full of the Holy Ghost, came in Hampton. His daddy was one of my deacons, wanted to go home. And so they got him up, and they leaned him up against the wall, and he was like hot butter running down there. Then that night down, he threw him back down the wall. Sherman picked him back up again, leaned him against the wall. He was a 15, 16-year-old boy. And he just come sliding down the wall. Back before Truman could go home, Truman had to pick him up, throw him out in the car, throw it in the back of the car, and carry him home. Folks, I'm telling you, how God is still wanting to do that today. I said, God is still wanting to do that today. God not only wants to feel you, God wants to run you over. God wants you to get the same experience I've ever had in the upper room. Young people, don't be satisfied with anything less. Moms and dads, don't be satisfied with just a little, a titter-tatter of a good and stay till you're full of the power of the Holy Ghost in your heart and your life. God wants to do it. God wants to do it. God wants to do it tonight. God wants to do it for the last season. God wants to do it for you. God wants to do it for you tonight. How many believe God wants to do it for you tonight? God wants to do it for you. And the only way to do it for you is if you will allow God to do it for you and see you. And the only way he can do it is if you come with an open heart and say, God, I'm open for whatever you want to me, whatever you want to do to me. Here I am, I'm just an empty vessel for you. Here, if you want to do it, God will save you. So you want to say, Father, I ask you by the Holy Ghost to get this message. I ask you, God, to drive it home to the heart. We're not satisfied with a little meaningless experience to do them. We're not satisfied with 1 to 3 battles. We're not satisfied with what we got. God, the only time you can do anything more for us is when we become dissatisfied with what we have. We're dissatisfied. God only satisfied. And I know that there's multitudes in this place tonight that are satisfied. There's some that have never tasted of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They've already dealt with their heart. And I pray tonight, God, that they help them to yield themselves to you by the Holy Spirit, and tonight they will be filled or overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Then there's others here tonight, God, that need a fresh gift. They need a fresh anointing. They need a fresh touch of your Spirit. Oh, God, I ask that the Holy Ghost would fall like rain now upon our heads and upon our hearts. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed for just a moment, please. You're here tonight. Musicians are playing. Invitation to be in San Francisco. You're here. And you say, Brother Robson, I'm not a Christian. I need God. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Just slide it up right back there, real quick. Brother Robson, I need God. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. Is your hand anywhere in this auditorium? Up or right back down? Everybody that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, please stand your feet. They don't have the baptism, please stand. They don't have the Holy Ghost, please stand your feet right now. There's three, many more. How many more? Quick time. God baptized life by the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost, please stand your feet. Come on, please stand. Please stand. Thank you, God.
Is there no more?
Yeah.
Will we be gone?